When the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So these are the words right here that Mary was greeted with by Elizabeth when she spoke to him. That first encounter when Mary and Elizabeth joined hearts. These two women of the gospel, these great women of faith. And what the gospel shows us today, and maybe we don't always focus on it, but this is what happens within the soul of a person when God visits that soul. When God encounters that soul, this is the exact same thing that is going on, because when God comes to encounter us, what happens is that he moves us inwardly. He turns us, and his very presence transforms whatever situation it is that we're going through into praise and blessing, honoring God because he is actually here. So when God visits us, what actually happens within our souls, we have a restlessness, but a good kind of restlessness. A restlessness that allows us to proclaim that he lives and that he actually comes to dwell and to live within his people. Not just in some far off place where we have to throw our prayers up to God, but that he is here, that he's actually present. That's what was going on within Elizabeth. When she was moved inwardly and she felt the babe leap within her womb because God was present in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is our example. She doesn't remain comfortably within the places where she was, comfortable in a faith, comfortable in the greeting that Gabriel gave to her, calling her blessed of all women. What she does is she moves out of her comfort in her faith and goes out to accompany Saint Elizabeth in the midst of her difficult pregnancy. Remember, St. Elizabeth was a woman who conceived at a very old age, beyond which women can conceive. And so Mary, this young 16-year-old woman, maybe even 14, left and made haste, as it said, into the mountains and the hill country to console her cousin, who was already in the sixth month of her pregnancy. Mary did the same thing in 1531. When she hastened quickly to Monte Tepeyac, where she appeared to a young, or rather to an old native-born man, and began to accompany him, but also to accompany the whole of the indigenous people there in what is now Mexico, and to serve them in the midst of their pain. And what she did there was something very beautiful, that she became their mother, a mother of all peoples, and the mother of even us who are heirs to the Virgin of Guadalupe. Here in America, she's our patron. It's in this visit which our Virgin, the Virgin of Guadalupe, who I wear here, who is adorned in many images all throughout our church, she wants to teach us and she wants to allow us to learn that we as a people of Jesus have to have a strong missionary faith so that we can actually be what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, to be salt and light in a world that is in darkness and lacks savor of the sweetness of God. But when we look in our world and we see what's going on, we see that our society and that our communities are blind. That they're blind to the needs of people who truly need things, or blind to the needs that are actually around us. One of the things that we rejoice in our modern day is the technology that we have, the new learnings, the advances that we make day in and day out, and the progress of the peoples in this way. But we often become very insensitive to those who seem to be left behind in the midst of this technological advances. We glory in these great advances that we make, but we lose sight of persons. And because of that, they become cast aside, and we choose not even to look at them because they smell funny, or they look bad, or because they're dirty. Maybe even sometimes without realizing it, we've become used to the fact that we see people begging on street corners, sleeping in the streets or in boxcars or in any place that they can find that is warm and protected from the elements. We see that children and adults are exploited or given to the only way that they can through illegal work, and see that as a normal thing. How many of us, how many families do we see that are scarred by the pain of seeing that their own children are victimized by drugs, by gangs, by prostitution? And we normalize, even within our own families, the exclusion of our elderly by leaving them to live out their lives in some sort of solitude because they're not productive as once they were, and so they don't need to be around anymore. Or because that aging process unnerves our quest and our desire for personal beauty and how much we love youth. So we push them to the side and lock them up in places so they're not seen nor heard from. We see these situations all around our world, and especially in these days, covering all of our news broadcasts about how it strikes at the very dignity of who woman is. Because since childhood, since even adolescence, they see that violence inside the home and also without the home degrading their own dignity. We accept the fact that a woman can be boiled down to her worth by what pleasure I might be able to receive from her, and how cheaply I can toss her aside when I'm no longer in need of it. We see that here. It's all over with this Harvey Weinstein and the things that are going on within our culture. We see it everywhere. And so faced with all these situations that degrade persons and degrade humanity and degrade our society, we listen to the words of Elizabeth, who says what? Blessed is she who believed. Who believed what God spoke to her. Who believed that what God speaks to the heart of every human person. That's our mother. One who, in spite of all these things, holds on to belief and to truth. You see, even in the situations that we find ourselves within our culture, our mother never leaves us. And we have a mother. Because wherever it is that we can find a mom, wherever a mother is, that's where home is. Because a mother makes a building into a home, bringing her love and the love which she bears within herself into that place. Because even in a home where brothers and sisters fight, when mom is there, it becomes a home. Because they realize that there's a sense of unity and family that always prevails wherever mom is, wherever it is that she makes a home. And so when we think of the plight of, especially I do at this time, of the plight of single mothers who bravely and courageously raise their children, even without the help of anybody else, throughout the difficulties that they see, find a way to always to support their children, especially at the expense of their own necessities. This is the kind of mother that our Blessed Virgin is, that Mary is. She treats us that way. Because we have to recognize that she is our mother, meaning that we're her children as well. And that Mary is a woman who fights against society that is blind and doesn't want to see these things that irk her conscience. Mary is a woman who sees that society which is indifferent to suffering and to the disadvantaged, that she doesn't let it remain that way. Mary is a woman who fights to strengthen joy that the gospel comes to bring us. Who fights even to give flesh to that gospel, to not remain it as words on a page or nice things that we hear on Sundays and feast days, but to live it out so that the gospel begins to take on flesh and move and to live among us just as Christ himself once walked the earth. So too we are to walk the earth with Christ walking in us and through us. So when we look at the Virgin of Guadalupe, who we celebrate today, she reminds us that the Lord always wants to visit us, that he always wants to put his flesh on the love which he's come to bring, so that we can become true living signs of God's own mercy wherever it is that God brings us. That's why as Christians we're called to be a missionary people, to carry out that same missionary love. If we're really going to celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe here in Encino, and to celebrate her as our mother every day of our lives, that means to celebrate the remembrance of Mary is here to assert that against all odds and in the very heat and the very heart of our life and the people that beat strong within us a sense of hope that doesn't worry about the situations or conditions that seem to overshadow all hope and think that hope is no longer something that we can reach out toward in the darkness of our world. Because Mary believed, it also meant that Mary loved. Because she is the handmaid of the Lord and the servant of her brothers and of her sisters. So each of us then are invited to go out and to encounter others with that same gaze of mercy, with that same abandonment to love which she did that caused her to leave her own situation of surprise and joy and to go out and to venture into the difficulties to minister to her aging cousin. To contemplate Mary and to think about her and to live a life that is recognizing the greatness that we have in Mary means that we are to feel that same strong imitation or strong movement to imitate Mary's own faith. Because her presence leads us to an action by saying yes to life. Yes to life and no to every other kind of indifference or exclusion or use and abuse of persons which is so common within our world. And so many of us have even begun to embrace as normal. To be sons and daughters of the Virgin of Guadalupe means that we can't be afraid. Can't be afraid to go out and to look upon others with the same gaze that she looks down deeply upon us as her children and upon every disadvantaged person. Because each of us are brothers and sisters. That's what the Virgin of Guadalupe came to show us. She was a woman, and as you look at the image, she's not a Spanish woman. She's an Indian woman, dressed in Indian dress. And yet she prefers to be called by the name Guadalupe, which has sounds that the native culture couldn't pronounce, but was a Spanish word, showing that the two of those cultures, though at war and at odds and near rebellion and annihilating each other, she came to be mother of both. And so she's come to be the mother of all peoples. Just like Saint Juan Diego, whose feast day is actually today, just like him, we know that our mother is here. We know that we can find ourselves beneath the shadow of her, underneath the mantle of her own protection. And this, brothers and sisters, has to be the source of our joy, that we are within the reach of her embrace no matter where we find ourselves. She wants to be in the midst of our culture. And so in this moment, turning to her, we ask for her intercession for those who are weak, abused, and disaffected within our society, and that we as well can take on her life as we seek to find them out and bring them all under the mantle of her protection, to restore dignity to those who've lost sense that they have dignity themselves. So together, let's pray to Our Lady, a simple but sweet and heartfelt plea. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Blessed Virgin of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.